Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
All right, I'm popping back in here really quick, guys. I warned you, we knew this was going to happen. Literally, as soon as we finished rapping, me and Kramer were sitting there talking afterwards, and he was saying, man, should I go out tonight? Should I have a good time? I was like, you know what's going to happen. As soon as we finish and we get out of here, Chris Jones is going to sign an extension with the Chiefs. We knew it was going to happen. We warned you at exactly 9 minutes after we wrapped the show. Chris Jones signs a 5-year, $95 million extension with the Kansas City Chiefs. And so I pop back on here because this episode doesn't come out. I think it's actually probably going to come out on Sunday morning now, as opposed to our normal Monday release day because of this news. Let's get these numbers right here while we look at this really quick. It is 5 years, $95 million. Looks like most people are kind of assuming that it's really a 3-year deal with some funny money kind of tacked on the back here. Regardless, we talked about Brett Veach's offseason checklist. Sign Drew Tranquil, check. Tag LeJarius Sneed, check. Extend or re-sign Chris Jones, check. Now trade LeJarius Sneed is next on the menu for this. Following up with this, after this, we can either look at maybe a Patrick Mahomes restructure to free up some more cash. And then, like I said, hopefully we'll use that draft capital to move up and get an elite weapon. If we don't, we don't. Because regardless, we have locked up all of our major holes in the offseason. The defense isn't 100% what it was last season, but all the key players are mostly back, right? If the Chiefs want to run it back with LeJarius Sneed on the tag, they can. We'll have to look at what Chris Jones's cap hit is this year and see if the numbers work out. But regardless, Brett Veach is on the move. Brett Veach has a plan. We talked about how Brett Veach doesn't like having holes going into the draft. Chris Jones was the irreplaceable hole that he had on this roster going into the draft, and he has that locked up. Now, Chris Jones is going to retire a Kansas City Chief. Chris Jones is the best defensive tackle in the NFL. Brett Veach just went out and signed the number one free agent in this year's free agent class, right? He made a point to make sure that number 95 is going to retire in a Chiefs uniform. The three-peat is on. The three-peat is in the hopper. The Chiefs are going for it. They won it. If you're a Chiefs fan, get stoked, man. This is exciting. I was in the garage putting together my wife's Bowflex at 11 p.m. at night on a Saturday, and this news breaks, and I said, oh, I can't let Veach season come out without Chris Jones being talked about, without this news being in the episode. I said, yeah, don't blame us if it comes out and it's not on there. Well, I'm not going to let it come out without it being on there. No, we care too much about the brand here at Veach season, baby. And Crame, I wish you were on here with me so we could talk about this. But right now, we're like that. What's that song? I'm riding solo. Like, that's what I'm doing right now. I don't care. Oh, my gosh. Could you be any more happy? This is like we spent all offseason waiting for this to happen last year, and it didn't happen. Veach and Jones both. I said it on Twitter this past week that I don't think that Chris Jones had any desire whatsoever to let this kind of string out like it did last year. I think he told his agents, go and give me the money I want. Go give me the money I deserve, but don't let this thing draw out. I don't want to be a distraction. I want to stay here. I want to play for the Chiefs. I want to go for a three-peat, but get me as much as you can. Oh my gosh. And Chris Jones got the bag he deserves. Chiefs got the player that they needed. Oh my gosh. Like, I'm fanboying right now about this. Cause I'm just stoked that Jones is back. Like, you don't have to worry about a hit or a miss in the draft. Now you have the opportunity to have some agility about who you select as a defensive tackle. You don't have to necessarily take a defensive tackle in the top three, in the first three rounds anymore. you can gamble on a guy that you possibly believe in, or you can say, you know what, I am going to draft a defensive tackle early in the draft. Maybe I'm going to go for a Chris Jenkins. Maybe I'm going to go for a Tavondre Sweat to replace Derek Nnadi and have like a true beefy boy in the middle next to Jones just eating up blockers. You have all this flexibility now of what you want to do. You don't have to take a linebacker because you re-signed Drew Tranquil. Your secondary is already strong. Your passing game is good enough. You still need a weapon on offense. So we'll have to see if the Chiefs have any cash in free agency left. If they have anything to make a move, they can make a move, right, at wide receiver. If there's one of the guys we talked about, they want to kind of add to the mix a little bit, or they want to try to add a tight end or something like that. But regardless, guys, like, Veach does not go into the draft with holes. He wants flexibility to take the best possible player, and now he has flexibility to spend draft picks to move up for one guy if he wants, right? If he doesn't re-sign Jones, then he can't trade extra draft picks and move up and take a weapon, right? Because you got to be able to take a defensive tackle in the first two rounds. Now you have the flexibility to either take one early, take one later, trade up for one, trade up for a wide receiver. Really, the world is your oyster right now. If you're Brett Veach, the whole draft is open to you now. This is just another excellent move by the best GM in football, and things are heating up. This is an exciting, exciting offseason, everybody. And just please stay tuned, because we're going to keep on bringing you more information as it comes. Even if I got to keep popping in at 11 p.m. on a Saturday night because news breaks to add something onto the end of an episode, we're going to do it, man. Because you know what? We're in this together, and it's Veach season, baby. All right. Everybody be good to each other. Love you. Peace. Hey, and welcome back to another week of Veach season. One more week, still not canceled. What? Made it a week longer than anybody expected. Dane Brugler, still not on the show yet. It's okay. Brett Veach, still not on the show yet. He tried to get on this episode, but we said, you know, Brett, our calendar's just packed. We got too much great stuff to talk about today, but you know what? I'll put you on the back burner. If something falls through, if we have an opening, I'll bring you in, and we'll let you talk Chiefs, Brett Veach, if we end up having time for you. But we just didn't have time. Like, things are just, it's all bangers tonight, guys. And I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. And I'm saying this all in jest, because obviously Brett Veach doesn't know we exist, but someday he will.
I bet he does.
I bet he does too. Honestly, he's going to be like, by the end of this episode, he's going to be like, Xavier Leggett, huh? Ray Davis, huh? That's what we call in the biz a teaser. That's a little bit of a teaser for later in the episode, guys. That's what we call here in the biz, a tease. But before we speaking actually of teases, the ultimate tease, my main squeeze, the best in the biz, Kramer Sansone, my amigo, compadre extraordinaire. What's up, Kramer?
Dude, Rocky, once again, like how you mentioned it already, we're not canceled. We're still here. We're rolling. We're turning. We're burning. And you know what's coming up soon? Free agency. And I know we're going to talk about that a little bit later on, dude. But I'll tell you what, before we get to anything, we got to keep it hot a little bit, especially what I've been doing around here, around Kansas City, actually, too. Fountain City Pro was this past Friday a massive success. I'll tell you what, guess who won? Guess who won that match at the main event?
Quadzilla, baby.
Oh, man, it was an electric main event. Whatever it does, we taped it on Friday, so whenever it does get posted to like the YouTube channels or the Twitch or however they're going to post it, I'll make sure to put the link out there so you guys can watch the entire thing. But in an insane spot that happened before intermission, a guy named Gary J took a power bomb. He was sent two rows back into the chairs. Big thud, huge thud. He ended up losing the match, spoiler, but my gosh, it top to bottom, great show.
I tell you what, man, like when you got heart and you're an athlete like that, you know, it's just, how could you do anything but put on a great show? Like, oh my God, that's so awesome. If you guys checked it out, and you know, this past weekend, the Fountain City Pro with our main dude, Cream Dog and all the great wrestlers, pro wrestlers out there that performed. Drop us a comment, you know, in a rating and review, because we want to hear about it. Because so proud of you, Cream Dude. There's a lot of people in who go through their entire life never doing anything that they are passionate about, right? And we're lucky enough that we get to cover sports, you know, and we're passionate about it. And we're lucky enough that we get to cover the world champion Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
But you are also especially lucky that you get to pursue and cover multiple passions simultaneously. And there's not a lot of people in the world who are lucky enough to get to live their passions like you do. And a lot of people don't have the guts or the cojones or the huevos to go for it like you do, man. And so I just want to say I'm proud as hell at you for going for what you believe in and going for what you're passionate about and just doing your thing, man. Like a lot of people don't have, you know, what it takes to really just step into the fear of going for what they want, and you go for it on a continual basis. And I really respect that, man. Dude,
thank you, Rocky. I'll tell you what, last night I had the itch to want to get into that ring. So I'm not going to. The neck's still messed up. Can't do it because I used to train. So yeah, no, I'm safe and sound in that broadcast booth. So I'm cool with that.
Someday, not yet. Not yet.
Yeah, let's get
the day before you die. Before you die, you're going through a table. That's my prediction.
Oh, if you want to do it, go for it. I'm cool with that as well. Maybe before a Chiefs Bills game here at Arrowhead.
Oh,
maybe,
yeah.
You know, we'll
yeah.
get you fly up.
Maybe
fly
for
up
Chiefs
here.
Raiders.
That
maybe
too.
Before
that would
Chiefs
work.
Raiders.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. That would work. All right. Well, moving on to actual football and actual draft talk and offseason talk. You mentioned that free agency is right around the corner. And one thing we know about Brett Veach is that he enters into the offseason with a similar plan in the sense every single year, not prioritizing the same positions, not prioritizing the same types of players per se, but he has a plan that when he enters the draft, he wants to have at least a name at every spot on that depth chart. He doesn't want to enter the draft with any glaring holes. He'll enter the draft with upgrades that are needed, like positions that need to be upgraded, but he's going to at least have a warm body fill in a spot, right? In all those spots. And so I think that this year he had a kind of like a prioritized list of what he wants to achieve before the draft. And on that list, in my opinion, I believe were re-sign Drew Tranquil, trade Legarius Sneed, extend Chris Jones, and acquire a veteran wide receiver. Like, I think that's kind of like his four primary things. And the first domino in that series, re-signing Drew Tranquil, happened this week. And it was on a very team-friendly deal. What was it? 2 years for 13 – 3 years for 13 million, I think.
Yeah.
$3 million cap hit in the first year. Extremely affordable, extremely team-friendly. Brings back a guy who stepped in and played middle linebacker, played the mic when Bolton went out. And I mean, the defense did not miss a step, right? You lose your mic linebacker and your off ball coverage linebacker comes in and plays mic and you don't miss a step. He's a guy who could play all three linebacker positions. He's super, super flexible. I think that he steps into Willie Gay's role without missing a beat. And so you have your starting three linebackers set heading into the offseason. What do you make of that? You think Drew Tranquil, what do you make of it?
See, I liked it. I liked the signing in the first place the year prior. I thought, my gosh, he hit free agency. I was hoping he wouldn't stay in division and leaving the Chargers. But yet, you know what? He signed a deal with the Chiefs, and he took the ball and ran with it, but on the defensive side of things, of course. But I like this. It's a good middle linebacker, a good right outside, and a good left outside. Like you said, he can play all three positions. And you could hear it in his voice during the parade when he's like, this is so much better than L.A. So much better. I think he just wanted to stay here. He got that taste of, this is what a Super Bowl parade's like. This is what a Super Bowl is like. I'm a champion now. Like this, I think he got that taste and is like, I know we can do this again. If I'm on this team, we can definitely do this again. Because, I mean, a 1-2 punch combo at the – like you have to have two good linebackers, I think, for a defense to be all well around circle. And you have him with Nick Bolton, you have him with Drew Tranquil. What more do you really need? I know Leo Chanel's probably gonna be the third guy there, but I love this deal with a team friendly, of course. I mean, you're trying to get Chris Jones, and get him paid. So this is great.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to Jones here in a second. I think also a little bit on that parade, I think maybe there might have been some smoke signals going up to other Los Angeles Chargers players who are currently, you know, who, because the Chargers are in cap hell, and they have a lot of guys they have to move on from, and they have guys who are going to be free agents. Austin Eckler, you know, coming up this offseason, and maybe he was throwing some smoke signals to some other guys, basically being like, listen, like, why would you want to be the second best team and the second most liked team in your city when you can come to Kansas City and be gods? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's just a fact. Like, why not come play for the most successful franchise in the NFL and possibly win a championship instead of sharing a stadium with a team that is your big brother? Let's be honest. Like, you're always second fiddle in LA if you're the Chargers. So I don't know. I think there might be some smoke signals going up there.
Because also money really doesn't – I mean, money can buy happiness. But if you want to live forever in the NFL, you have to win a Super Bowl. That's just how it's going to happen. I don't care how much Michael Vick was got paid whenever he got his big lucrative contract whenever he was a Falcon before the stuff happened. I don't care about that. Was he a Super Bowl champion? No. Drew Tranquil is a Super Bowl champion. I care more about that than whenever they get paid.
Oh, 100%. Daniel Tosh once said, they say money can't buy happiness, but it can buy a jet ski.
It's true.
You ever see anybody frown on a jet ski? And so that is true. So money can't buy happiness, but money cannot buy a Super Bowl. And there are some things that are more important than happiness. Like, you know what? I am a grumpy, miserable SOB a lot of the time. And you know what?
You don't say.
I would gladly be a grumpy, miserable SOB with Super Bowls than be a chipper, happy guy who values its existence without Super Bowls. Like, give me who I am with the Super Bowl trophies every day of the week.
No, I agree. I mean, I'll never have the chance to win a Super Bowl, but you know what? I'm cool enough to talk about it. I mean, cover the team who's won three in the last, 5 years?
Listen, you're like, you know what?
Pete needs to get us rings.
Yeah, Pete needs to get us drinks, first of all. I mean, for all the work that we do.
Exactly.
And for our contributions to Chiefs Kingdom, I mean, I think so. I mean, we deserve rings. We deserve trophies. We deserve rings. I mean, Brad and Tom got Emmys, for God's sakes.
That's true. That's like, very true.
They won legit actual Emmys for their work. And we can't even get, like, a Cracker Jack fake plastic Super Bowl ring. Like, just buy me a ring pop and like engrave LVIII on it and I'm happy. You know, I'm not a picky dude, but like, I mean, they got, can you believe they got Emmys? Like, they are Emmy winning.
Good for them. Like, guys, like, they're doing something we're not, apparently.
I tell you what, it's people love the British, you know, like Downton Abbey, Bridgerton. Like, we just don't have the accent. Like I don't sound refined enough. Like, I could try to do a British accent, but I would sound like a guy who doesn't know how to do accents trying to do a British accent. You know, some night when we've had way too many and I am like half a bottle of like Rough Rider in and I've had way too many whiskey sours or just drinking it neat or whatever, I will break out my Sean Connery impersonation for you, and it is horrible. It might be, it doesn't even qualify as an impersonation. It's a drunk guy saying he's doing a Sean Connery impersonation and just talking in a voice that sounds like nothing. Like, that's what it is.
We need to make this happen. You know, hey, how about this?
It's horrible.
This is an idea. This is like, we're going to pull behind the curtain a little bit whenever, you know, we brainstorm right now. We'll stay up late, you and I, on a Saturday night. Then we can get them to pop in. Say it's 1 o'clock our time. It's probably 7 a.m., maybe 8 a.m. over there. They can pop on in and we can have a good old chat.
Oh, 100%. And then
I'm down with that.
We'll splice it in. You know, we'll have Serta edit it into the episode. And I mean, I'll drunkenly try to do a Sean Connery accent and act like he was actually British, even though he was Welsh. He was Welsh, I think. He's not even British.
I think he's Welsh.
Oh man, this is great draft coverage. Sean Connery. This draft coverage right now is impeccable. Oh my gosh, this is top. Why doesn't Brett Veach want to be on this podcast?
This is the podcast for Brett Veach, definitely.
Yeah, this is definitely Brett Veach's favorite podcast. Okay, back on track. We digress. Yeah, so we got the first domino to fall in Veach's offseason plan. Number two is it's going to be trading LeJarius Sneed because you need to clear up that 19 and some change million in salary cap before you can pay Jones. Like that's just a fact of the matter. But a lot of smoke around this, like, and a lot of differing information. Some people saying that the Chiefs are willing to move him for as little of a third, or they'll take whatever they can get. Diana Russini from The Athletic said that the asking price and the expectation is a first round draft pick, even though it may not be that, but like the minimum is 2 second day picks, like a second and a third. There's rumored to be 7 teams interested in Sneed currently, including the Lions, the Pats, the Colts,
and Vikings, a couple other teams. Titans, Jaguars, and did you say Falcons already in Patriots?
I did not say Falcons. I did say Patriots.
All right, yeah.
There's a lot of quarterback needy teams, and not a lot of guys who can lock people down like Sneed has done and play from multiple different positions while also blitzing the quarterback. I love Sneed, right? I've said it before. I said, give me 11 LeJarius Sneeds, and I'll win the Super Bowl, right? Like every single year. So I think he's a phenomenal football player. So that being said, you don't want to give him away for nothing. What are they going to get for him? It's still up in the air. What are they going to get for him, Kramer? What's your guesses? Give me your best guess.
It's interesting seeing what trade's been going on for wide receivers. We'll talk about that a little later. But for a defensive guy of the caliber like LeJarius Sneed, if it's anything like a third, like that's a slap in the mouth. You need to get at least a second out of him, at least a second. Maybe you also get a second and a fifth. You need to get a second. Like, I think he is good for a second. I don't think he's good for a first rounder, especially for being 28 years old. It's on that downward tilt side for a cornerback, but it's I think a second is doable here for LeJarius Sneed. And I mean, there's plenty of teams that have second round picks, have a surplus in those day two type picks right now, and one of them being the Jacksonville Jaguars and the other Lions.
I mean, yeah, let's just look at it for a second, because you said the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that's a really intriguing team. I think if you're going to go for just a second round pick, they have to be a team that's picking in the first half of the draft. Like you're not going to be trading him just like for a borderline third round pick, right? Because you said third round pick isn't enough. It's a slap in the face.
Yeah.
Well, if the Chiefs were trying to trade for LeJarius Sneed, their pick number 64 isn't enough for LeJarius Sneed, right? Like we're not but pick 48 from 48 the Jags. Would be nice. Now we're talking pick 46 from the Colts. Now we're talking. I think the report that we saw about Detroit Lions, a team that's picking towards the end of the second round, I think that they were talking, like, because they have a couple of picks, was that the Chiefs were asking for like 61 and 92 for Sneed. And that seems about right.
That seems right.
That seems somewhere, and that seems about right. And you could you just see, like, if you want to think about, like, where's a good fit for LeJarius Sneed as a player, like playing for Dan Campbell in Detroit. Like, it seems like if he's not going to play for Kansas City, like, that is a team that would unleash his aggression, be okay with him getting some penalties and just saying, like, go out there, like, kind of do the Liam Neeson thing that he did in Kansas City, like, go out there and just shut the guy down and do whatever you want to do. So I think that for me, I think the Indianapolis Colts connection with Chris Ballard, their GM, he spent so much time in Kansas City, super interesting, right, to me. I think the Lions are a really, really good pick. The Pats are such a wild card because we don't know what Jared Mayo is going to do.
That's true. Right?
Like he's first year head coach. We know he's defensive minded though. He's defensive minded first year head coach. So if that's the case though, and they're going to give up a second round pick for him, pick 34. That's a borderline first.
That is
that's a borderline first.
I don't know if he would give up that number 34 on the pick, though. I just don't think that's a high second round draft pick. And what Sneed was, wasn't he drafted in the third or fourth or fifth? Like, I mean, he outdid himself, especially from draft coverage. And even when I was mocking him, I didn't even think he was even a caliber guy to even be this good or even be this great. But yeah, that's
34. It's not where you start, it's where you end.
That's true.
When was Tyreek Hill drafted? Right, like
yeah, that's true.
Like like, you don't have to be a first round draft pick to end up being flipped for a first round draft pick. That's the whole reason why drafting guys, developing them, and then flipping them makes sense, is because you're actually getting a return on your investment, instead of like a Trey Lance situation where you trade the farm, don't do anything with him, and then sell him off for peanuts, you know?
That, and also, if I'm the Chiefs right now, I'm not trading him to an AFC team. I don't remember the last time they traded a defensive player in the AFC, because the last one they had was Dee Ford, I'm pretty sure, that they traded out to San Francisco, and you saw how that ended. I'm doing the exact same thing. I'm making sure he's in the NFC, because he already knows Patrick Mahomes' tendencies. They practice together 24/7. So do you want to keep him in the AFC where you could possibly have him pick off Mahomes in a AFC matchup when it's in the playoffs? I mean, I'd rather wait till the Super Bowl if they end up getting to play against each other for that to happen.
Yes and no. Like, I mean, the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill to the Dolphins.
Yeah, but he's also on the offensive side of things. Defensively, though, you want to get him out of here.
I hear that. I don't know if I'd trade him to an AFC contender. Like, I'm not trading him to the Bills. But the Pats? Like, come on. Like, you put L'Jarius Sneed on the Pats, and they're still not beating the Chiefs.
But what does he want to go there, though? Because remember, they gave him the option, like, to go test your, you know, go test. Like, where do you want to actually play here?
You're a fourth-round pick who has, against all odds and every circumstance you were placed in your life. I mean, like, if you don't know L'Jarius Sneed's backstory, go read L'Jarius Sneed's backstory. We're talking both parents in prison. Nobody recruited him. Nobody believed in him. He's from one of the highest, like, gun violence per capita areas in the United States, in Minden, Louisiana. He had his older brother, who basically raised him, was actually murdered, what, like last season, I think in 2022 or 2023. Like, this guy's life has not been all sunshine and rainbows, and he's been playing on a rookie deal. Like, yeah, okay, maybe he doesn't want to go there because they're not going to win. But if he's going to go there and they're going to give him the bag, I think for a guy like that, who's earned his bag,
that's fair.
Like, he's gonna go and take the bag, I think, and he should. He should. He's earned.
Yeah, he should.
He's earned that bag, and I think that the Chiefs are okay with trading him, you know, to the Pats. Or if you're gonna trade him within the AFC, then don't trade him to somebody you play in the regular season in 2024. Like, you're not gonna play every AFC team.
It's true.
You know what I mean? If you don't face them, then trade him away. You know, like you can't choose who you're going to face in the playoffs. You're going to, if you trade him to a contender, there's a chance you're facing him in the playoffs regardless. If you trade him to a contender in the NFC, there's a chance you're facing him in the Super Bowl. You know, like, either way, there's a chance you're facing him if you trade him to a good team. So just don't trade him to a team in the AFC that you're going to play against, and I think you're okay. Ultimately, I think he ends up landing for a second round pick, like a mid second round pick, like I said, to the Colts. We'll have to see, though. I'll tell you what, though, with that draft capital, and I mean, like guys, I put out on Twitter a couple of times this week some ideas that I have for, like, possible trade scenarios. When I do this, I match up the values with the Rich Hill, Brad Spielberger, Fischel Spielberger, the Jimmy Johnson, the John Dixon AV value weighted trade chart, every trade chart that's out there. I match them up against them. That doesn't mean that if I propose that trade to the Cardinals at four, that they're going to say the market dictates the value and it's going to cost more than that. So when people come at me on Twitter and they say, oh, there's no way that the Cardinals are going to accept two firsts and 2 seconds and a third for the fourth overall pick. Sure, they might not, but they might. Like, the market dictates the value, right? You know, so it's not that serious. These are just possible draft scenarios.
I mean, they've made wild trades through with the Texans before, so that could happen.
They haven't. There's been some really bad trades this week as well, or at least one for
them. That's been old mania.
We'll talk about it a little bit later. But what I would like to see the Chiefs do, no matter what it takes, and here's the thing. The Cardinals very well might be saying, we're not moving off of pick four, especially if quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3. If it goes like Williams, May, Daniels, and then they're sitting there at four and they can get Marvin Harrison Jr., there's no reason for them to move off that pick if they don't want to. But if the Chiefs can move up to, say, six with the Giants, right? If they use that extra, they trade for the trade L'Jarius Sneed, get an extra second round draft pick. So then they say they move 32, 64, 46, third, and then and then what, like a 2025 first round pick. That's a lot of capital, but you're really just giving up your first and second this year and your first next year to move up. And you're guaranteeing yourself in the draft an opportunity to draft either Rome Odunze or Brock Bowers. Either one of those players in this offense immediately makes this the most potent offense that the Chiefs have had since they had Tyreek Hill. Like these, like Rome Odunze, and you have these guys on a rookie contract for the next 5 years, right? So we're talking 5 years of elite offensive weapon, and you're losing your first round pick next year. Like there's no way around that. But guess what? If you win the Super Bowl, you're picking at the end of the first round again. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to have an opportunity at these elite guys unless you make a move at some point. And if you're going to make a move at some point, do it when you're going for a three-peat. Like that's my theory on it. You could just take another second round pick and take a flyer on a guy, you know, like Jermaine Burton or Roman Wilson or something like that with the pick. And that's fine. But I say it with your chest and go all in, man. What do you think?
And also, who knows? Even if they say something like that does happen, there could be other trades that also move up to where teams might want to get a quarterback in the first round. And say the Chiefs have the sixth overall pick. Say that's the case. And there's a run on quarterbacks and Brock Bowers gets taken. Marvin Harris Jr. is close. He's really close. Like, just think about that for a second. Would you want, first off, for me, thinking about that sounds terrifying. Even the fact of getting Brock Bowers possibly that being a chance for them to get sounds terrifying as well. So I love that idea. Like, that idea would be absolutely wild. And, yeah, like you mentioned, they won a Super Bowl. Who cares what their first-round draft pick is the following year? They won another Super Bowl. Heck, if they win a three, they're going to win another four. I mean, once you win more, you can't get that taste out of your mouth for wanting to get more and more and more of also playing in February. They enjoy playing in February.
It's like when a shark or a tiger eats a human, all they eat after that are humans. That's like what winning the Super Bowl is.
I've never heard that before. Yeah, it's true. Is that why we don't eat humans?
Yeah, that's why we don't eat. Well, that's the thing is they say that our closest like flavor profile is like pork and bacon is amazing. I am not a proponent of cannibalism by any means, but the fact that once a shark or a tiger eats a human, that's all they eat from then on out means that we probably are one of the most delicious tasting animals in the world.
I don't want to find out. I'm good.
I don't want to find out either. I'm never going to find out. No, I'm not a cannibal.
I'm not
a proponent of cannibalism. That's not what this is. I'm saying once you get a taste of something that you like, you don't go off of it.
What,
so I'm,
what
I'm
you a, like I'm eating agreeing is doves.
With you. Yeah, I like eating doves. Like, give me that Buffalo Wild Wings doves right here. I'm all about going out and getting the most elite offensive weapon that you can this year and getting them on a rookie contract. If you can't, but here's the other thing is you're the back-to-back Super Bowl champion. Why in God's green earth would any team want to let you move up and get Rome Odunze, Marvin Harrison Jr., or Brock Bowers? Like we saw, like the Chiefs had that problem last year. They were trying to trade up and they were like, nobody wanted to trade with us.
Right? That's true. Like, I forgot about that.
Like, yeah, people don't want to trade with you when you're the champion.
Because weren't they trying to get to like the mid 20s? Because I think there was a wide receiver they wanted. They couldn't get to him, which I think that wide receiver was Zay Flowers. But
it was rumored to be Zay Flowers.
So I completely forgot about them trying to move up last year. Yeah, there's no way no team's going to make a trade for them. There's no way.
Oh, they said that Dallas like wouldn't pick up the phone. Like I think that's what it was. Like they were trying to trade with Dallas because I think they possibly wanted Mozzie Smith, which thank God they didn't draft Mozzie Smith. I was out on him last year, and I'm wrong a lot. Like we celebrate our L's on each season. Like I said, AT Perry was my favorite wide receiver in last year's draft. He still is my favorite wide receiver in last year's draft. He wasn't the best wide receiver in last year's draft, but you know, you don't choose who you love, right? Like love happens. Love is love.
Like I love Ladd McConkey.
And listen, as your friend, I support that love, but I just caution you against getting hurt by leaning in to a guy named Ladd. Like I have a couple of rules about NFL prospects. One of them is don't draft anybody who has a toddler's name. Like if their names are initials, like if their name is BJ, like, no, I'm not going to draft you. If their name is TJ, no, anything that's like that, like, I'm not going to draft you if you have a toddler's name. And the other one is.
So you wouldn't have drafted TJ Watt?
No, I wouldn't have drafted. Of course I would have drafted. There's exceptions to every rule. Get out of here, Kramer. Of course I would have drafted TJ Watt. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't. And the other one is just don't draft people with like names that sound like they belong in an Ivy League college somewhere.
So
like
Lad McConkey.
They don't draft guys who have names that sound like their parents bought them a building that got a library named after them at Harvard. Like, no. Like, and obviously there's other reasons why I don't like Lad McConkey. I don't like his size profile. I don't like the fact that he can't stay healthy and he's never had a fully productive season, you know? So I don't trust the tape. I don't trust his body to hold up. And so there's other reasons why I don't like Lad McConkey as a prospect. And when I say I don't like Lad McConkey as a prospect, I don't like Lad McConkey as a first-round prospect like he's being touted. You give me Lad McConkey in the third round, and I think that he's an awesome selection.
Okay.
Like, that's my opinion on it.
Baby steps right now. Next week will be second round. I guarantee it.
This is like one of those images where they show, like the Crips and the Bloods holding a bandana next to each other, like
yeah,
like in unison, like baby steps. Like, that is what this is right now by me coming forward just a little bit more on Lad McConkey. Man, we are off the rails tonight, Kramer. We've got to get back on track. So anyway, probably a second round pick for Legarius Sneed, and the Chiefs should move up and get an elite offensive weapon. Moving forward, there's been a lot of action in the NFL this week. We're going to preview some free agency stuff a little bit more here. The Broncos traded Jerry Jeudy to the Cleveland Browns literally for a bag of marbles and what, like some pogs and slammers, if you remember what pogs and slammers even are. But what's your generation's version of pogs and slammers?
I have no idea what pogs and slammers is.
See, kids these days. Like, if you were a 42-year-old grown man with a wife and kids when you were 12 years old, pogs and slammers were the absolute shiz. Like, they were the it thing. They're little cardboard circles, like just cardboard circles with pictures on them. And they had like all these different ones, right? So you'd have like NFL ones. And they're just like these little like coins that were made out of cardboard.
Okay.
And you would stack them, you put them in a stack in the middle of a circle with your friends. And then you had this thing called a slammer. They could be made out of metal, plastic, whatever. And there were some thick ones, thin ones. And you take two fingers and you'd flip them over and slam them down on top of the stack of pogs. And whatever flipped over, you got to keep.
Okay.
And so you would play like pogs and slammers with your friends. And so everybody would put their pogs in the middle. And then it'd be your turn to be a slammer. And you would slam it. And whatever ones flipped over, you got to keep those pogs. And then your friend would go and he would slam it, and whatever pogs flipped over, he got to keep those pogs. And you would be,
the pogs are NFL players?
No, the pogs are just like these little circle coins that have like pictures on them. So they could be NFL players, they could be NFL teams, they could be Pokemon if you wanted, but they didn't have Pokemon back then. But it would be like Mickey Mouse if you wanted, Bugs Bunny. Like, they were just like all these different branded little circular cardboard coins. And you would flip over this like metal or plastic coin on top of them and try to flip them over. It was the dumbest game in the world, and it was so popular. I mean, it was a fad, man. And so when I was a kid, it was like pogs and slammers.
So your generation, Mayblade. I think Mayblade be the good competition to that. Or Mayblade. It was like,
what is that?
It's the thing where you have like the little spinner top thing. You attach it to the stick, yeah. Pull it back, it goes into the arena, it spins, you have to like knock each other out. I think that'd be kind of like mine, I want to say. But we weren't slapping each other's hands on the ground, possibly hurting each other. So that's
when I was a kid, we had a thing like that. It was called Battle Tops.
It's
essentially the exact same thing as Beyblades. Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for the pieces didn't pop off. It was just like you had your different tops and you would just knock them over, but you would battle them like Beyblades.
Oh yeah. No. In elementary recess was getting down with those. It was fun.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smart Water Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smart Water Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smart Water Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Anyway.
And that's basically what Jerry Jeudy was traded for.
That's basically what Jerry Jeudy was traded for.
Well, the Browns last year, when they got, or was it last year or 2 years ago, they traded Amari Cooper. They acquired Amari Cooper for a fifth. The Browns are, they have something brewing with them trading away low draft capital for a top end caliber wide receiver. It's not like we've seen the full potential yet of Jerry Jeudy. Like, it's, I'm not going to be out here and say Jerry Jeudy's been the most elite guy in the NFL. I will not stand behind that. But he has the potential to. Then again, he's like 26, 27 years old now. Is the potential running out?
No. I still think he has potential. He just has drops. Like, the issue is, he always has.
He's like Amari Cooper dropping.
He's the number one wide receiver that just can't hold on to the football. Like, if he doesn't have his drops, he's the number one wide receiver. And they also traded for Elijah Moore last year as well for peanuts. Like they gave up a fifth and a sixth for Jerry Jeudy. Like Denver Broncos are just trying to clean house at this point. It seems like the Bills this week also made a flurry of moves. Like they moved on from long time, like, members of their team, like Jordan Poyer, Mitch Morris, Dante Hardy. Like you're moving on from Mitch, like RIP former Chief Mitch Morris, you know, former Mizzou Tiger, right? He was a Mizzou Tiger, right? I think so.
Ooh, no,
pretty sure he was.
Man, why can't I think?
Yeah, he was a Mizzou Tiger. I'm just gonna say it.
Yes,
Mizzou I'll Tiger. Find out. Yep, he was a Mizzou Tiger. I was right. Look at me go. But yeah, so they moved on from those guys. They're still trying to clear cap space. They're in cap hell. It looks like they're just trying to take their medicine this year, though, right? Like, they're just trying to get below the cap this year. Then I probably won't make a ton of moves, and then they're going to try to reset and go for another window, you know, starting in 2025.
Well, then they tag Josh Allen, so they at least have one more year to make a deal with him, unless they tag him again next year. So I think this was just a big, big salary dump to maybe possibly get that extension done now.
I think it was the other Josh Allen that got tagged. The pass rusher.
Gotcha.
Like, Josh Allen's already under contract for him. They paid Josh Allen, which is why they can't afford to do these other guys.
I can't see seeing two different Josh Allens in the league. Both are great.
Like, come on. Like, how many Joshes do we need in the NFL? Like, that's another name. Josh. Another like, name. How many Josh Jacobs, Josh Allen? You know, just so many Joshes. Like, stop joshing me, man. Just
okay. You're joshing me over here.
Yeah, that's like something that my uncle would always say, like, you joshing me, man. Like, I don't even know what that means, dude. All right, so also, speaking of people being released this week, Russell Wilson is out of the AFC West for now. The Denver Broncos, Mr. Unlimited, is, you know, literally, like, God bless his agent. Like, pour a little out for his agent. He is the greatest agent in the NFL. Russell Wilson gets cut from the Denver Broncos and walks out of that franchise, still with them owing him $87 million in cold hard cash. He can go and play for whatever team he wants and play for the league minimum and just get paid more money than any team would ever sign him for in free agency. Like, oh my gosh, like, you are my hero, Mr. Russell Wilson's agent. Like, if we ever get agents, I want Russell Wilson's agent to be my agent. Like, that's, I don't want the Katz brothers. The Katz brothers, whatever they try to do anything for Chris Jones and stuff, gets drug out way too long and it gives me gray hairs. I want Russell Wilson's dude. He gets stuff done, and you walk out with more money than you're worth. But that being said, where's the possible? Where do you think Russell Wilson's going to land? In is he going to end up in Las Vegas?
Oh, stop, Rock. No, don't.
I think so.
Stop. Do not put that narrative out there because he just does not know. Please, no, no, stop. He'd be cheap. I mean, that'd be good. But then again, I also don't want to win only 7 wins. But I think he lands at Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh's the best ideal location for him. There's still a question mark with whether Kenny Pickett is their actual guy they want to run with, because there's been rumblings that Mason Rudolph might end up surpassing him because of how he performed later on last season. I think Russ is good there in Pittsburgh. But then again, I think Russ is also going to keep fizzling himself out and possibly into the XFL in 2 years.
Or just retire and just live off.
He'd be a good battle hawk.
Yeah. He'd be a fine battle hawk. He'd also be a good guy to sit, you know, on you know, NFL Sunday morning and just collect a paycheck from the Denver Broncos.
That's true, but I don't know about him being on NFL Sunday morning. I think it'd be too unbearable. I mean, we already see the Subway commercials. I think I'm fine. I'm out. We don't need to have him on there. I'm good.
Okay, well, then just sit at home and collect your free money. That's all I'm saying. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Do whatever you want to do. Like, okay, like, you know what? Start collecting Beyblades and play Beyblades with your kids 12 hours a day and collect
YouTube channel.
Become a professional Beyblade player on YouTube and then just start your own YouTube channel, become a social media influencer, and whatever else you want to do because you're getting free money from the Denver Broncos. That's all I'm saying. A lot of safeties have hit the market. Quandre Diggs, Jamal Adams. We talked about Jordan Poyer. It seems like teams are but it's not like these guys are in their primes. A lot of 30-year-old safeties have hit the market. Justin Simmons was cut from the Broncos as well. Long time superstar safety for the Broncos. Justin Simmons is now out of the AFC as well. AFC West as well. Thank God. I like that a lot. Yep,
agreed.
Is there going to be a market for these 30-year-old safeties, or is the market kind of resetting itself? We're going to see these guys either playing on league minimum deals or like 1 year prove it deals, that kind of thing.
We finally hit it to where the market's resetting itself. I think a lot of good old guys. It's hard saying old, even though they're like 28, 29, 30, 31. So that's not old at all. It's not, but for NFL standards, it is. And I think we're starting to see that now. I feel like this is a good defensive back class draft. This really is. We could probably see that reset for this year, and we might find the next Justin Simmons. We might find the next Jamal Adams coming out of this draft. Like, it's the possibility is here for it. I think the teams also see that as well. That's why we see these guys being released.
Listen, Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota, wherever he goes, he's going to be a superstar.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think Tyler Newbin's a guy who could play. He's good enough that he could almost do like a LeJarius Sneed thing where he converts from safety to cornerback in the NFL. And I think that he's a guy who can play anywhere in the defensive backfield that you need him to. He's my safety number one. I'm super impressed with him. I'm all in on Tyler Newbin at safety. Another quote unquote old guy. And when I say old guy, it makes me feel really old because I'm over a decade older than all these old guys. Allen Robinson is out. He is no longer. He was released from where was he playing?
Pittsburgh.
Allen Robinson was playing for Pittsburgh Steelers. There we go. He's been around the block a couple of times the last couple of years. I had to double check to make sure where he was at. Allen Robinson is out in Pittsburgh. 28 years old. Probably not going to have a huge market for him. Chiefs need bodies. Is this almost like one of those Brett Veach specials where it's like low risk, possible, somewhat reward that he likes to throw out there on former superstar guys like Josh Gordon?
No. Oh my gosh. I forgot about Josh Gordon being here in Kansas City. We saw Allen Robinson decline when Mitchell Trubisky was there in Chicago. Like, we've seen this decline. Heck, we even saw him decline after his stint. Didn't he have Blake Bortles as his quarterback for one or two seasons in Jacksonville? Even in his final year in Jacksonville might have been great, but after that, it just went downhill because of what he got put into in Chicago. And I think the trickle-down effect came through that. I don't know if it's because of that entire organization for it. He didn't do anything when he was a Ram. He didn't do anything when he was a Pittsburgh Steeler. Don't even waste your money. I'd keep him out of here. They don't need him.
I tend to agree. I think the Chiefs need help at wide receiver, but I don't think Allen Robinson.
There's a lot more options. There's a lot more options than Allen Robinson in this free agency class.
Well, and I think that given what Allen Robinson is now, I think that I would rather throw a fifth round flyer at a guy in this super deep wide receiver class than go for what Allen Robinson is.
Agreed.
At this point. Okay, so let's segue right here straight into free agency. All right, we got all these guys, free agent preview. Wide receivers, we've seen some guys go off the market, like T. Higgins off the market, Michael Pittman Jr. off the market. What do you think the Chiefs' strategy is going to be regarding wide receivers and free agency?
I think they're gonna need a guy kind of like Richie James, where you can have him as like a slot, or you can have him come out there and just line up with somebody. But I think you need to find a guy who can also kick return and punt return. Jamal Agnew is out there. I love Jamal Agnew. He's a great returner. He was a great returner for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They used him quite a bit also on certain types of like gadget plays on offense. And I think he could fit into that role that Andy likes to use with some sort of gadget types of plays. And with him being out there a free agent this year, he'd be cheap, but he's going to get paid less than $5 million per year. Maybe it's like three, maybe it's $4 million per year. Get him on a two-year deal for maybe less than $10 million. That's a perfect deal for this guy. It'd actually be a better deal than what they signed Marquez Valdes-Scantling to a couple of years ago. So I really like Jamal Agnew. Even DJ Chark is out there. I know he came out of the draft a handful of years ago, being touted as one of the top guys in here. He really didn't gel in Jacksonville. He didn't really gel in Carolina. He's a free agent now. And big body. He's got hands. I just like his frame and size. Frame and size is going to put him on a team somewhere. And, I mean, if it's Kansas City, so be it.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate that. I wouldn't hate to see the Chiefs take a flyer on a guy that has always been tantalizing but never quite paid off anywhere that he's been. Like a Josh Reynolds, like the Chiefs have been connected to Josh Reynolds for, it seems like, the last five seasons, you know, that the Chiefs try to make a play on him. A guy like KJ Osborne from Minnesota is interesting to me as well. People, you hear Darnell Mooney's name get thrown a lot around a lot when talking about the Chiefs with Chiefs fans. Another one of those smaller type of gadget players, like a Curtis Samuel, possibly. He's going to be demanding more money, I think, than the Chiefs want to pay. A guy that gets a lot of like naysay that I really don't understand is Gabe Davis from Buffalo. Like he's 25 years old and he has 700 yards receiving and 7 touchdowns last year. Like no, he's not a number one wide receiver, but for a role player, like newsflash, there's only 1,000 yard receiver in free agency, and that's Calvin Ridley. And the Chiefs aren't gonna get in a bidding war for Calvin Ridley. Like, no. I think Calvin Ridley's going to get more money than he's worth. Is this the year where Brett Veach lands his white whale and finally signs Odell Beckham Jr.? Right? Like he's
no, like he's that's talked not
so
happen.
Highly of Odell Beckham Jr. In recent years that now that the whale is belly up on the beach with seagulls picking at its carcass, he's like, oh, finally, I finally got him right where I want him. and he gets Odell Beckham Jr.
He likes him nice and old now.
You know, there's guys on this list. I love him nice. He loves him seasoned. He likes a seasoned wide receiver. There's a lot of names of guys who could possibly be role players, but there's no real impact player here, which is why I think the Chiefs have to get an impact offensive weapon in the draft, because they're not going to do it at wide receiver here in free agency.
What is his name, like Chase Claypool?
Positions it. Oh, geez Louise.
You like that?
I once made an argument the Chiefs should trade a third round pick for Chase Claypool. That was a miss. Talking about celebrating our misses, I think I might even say I traded a second round pick for Chase Claypool because of his upside. Oof, yeah. Talk about
he's swinging a miss right there. Take.
Talk about a god-awful take by Rocky Magaña. I said I would trade a second-round pick for Chase Claypool, which a team actually did. And I said, oh, the Chiefs should have made that trade. That's a no-brainer. Whew. That's rough. That's real, real rough. That's rough. That's rougher than drinking two fingers of old granddad whiskey neat when it's lukewarm. Oof. Like that is lukewarm, that is rough. Too. Yeah, that is rough.
I can taste that now.
I have tasted it. It's not the best. I like whiskey, but I like good whiskey. Okay, so let's move forward to a couple other positions. Let's talk about them real quick. One position that is super intriguing to me, especially given Travis Kelce's age, is tight end. There is multiple tight ends in this free agency class that interests me. Obviously, the headliner of this free agency class of tight ends is Noah Fant, former Denver Bronco, former Seattle Seahawks, former first round pick. Awesome, awesome athlete. I mean, just attacks the seams. He want to talk about like these guys, like this like next generation tight end who can attack out big slot, attack out of the slot type of guy. Like he moves so well out there in space and as a true wide receiver. Like I am a huge fan of Noah Fant. I think he's going to demand more money than the Chiefs want to give up. But if they're going to spend money on a free agent, I'm not banging the table saying it has to be Noah Fant, but I wouldn't be angry if it was Noah Fant. Who's a tight end in this free agent class that you would like to see the Chiefs kind of target?
The 32-year-old guy that Washington just released, Logan Thomas. I've been a big fan of Logan Thomas. I don't know if it's because of the high hopes in fantasy football every single year, but every single year Logan Thomas always fails me because he can't stay healthy. And when you sign a tight end, what are you actually looking for this upcoming year? Are you trying to find Travis Kelce's replacement? Or are you trying to find a guy that's going to back up Travis Kelce to his best potential? And if that best potential guy is Logan Thomas, that's a good complementary piece to Travis Kelce. So we already know Travis is going to get all the reps at tight end. And then you might see kind of a guy come in. Like Logan Thomas isn't a blocker by any means. He might be out there to block, but he's not going to be the best one doing it. Might as well put Noah Gray there. But if you need a guy that's like similar to Travis Kelce, maybe banged up a little more than what Travis Kelce already is, Logan Thomas should be your guy. And he's not going to get paid a lot because of the injury concerns.
I mean, yeah. And how many times hasn't Logan Thomas broken his leg like two or three times? Like, is that him? I think that's who I'm thinking of. Like, I think he's broken his leg a couple of times.
It's like, leg issues. Yeah, for sure. But we're not asking him to go out there and take 100 snaps. Like, we're not asking that. Maybe he's going to play a total of maybe 40 to 50 snaps this upcoming season.
Yeah. Why don't we just go ahead and sign the guy that Travis Kelce said he like tried to model his game after in Jimmy Graham when he was learning to become a tight end? Because Jimmy Graham is still playing football. 37 years old, still doing it. Ah, legend.
Legendary. Like, might as well just get Mercedes Lewis, who's still in the league as well.
Just give me all the old timers. I just like at one point last year when the Chiefs were having wide receiver issues, like a part of my mind went through me. I was like, should they just like call up Marvin Harrison, Jerry Rice, Terrell Owens, like
T.O. at not, least, yeah,
like Calvin Johnson, like not to run like crossing patterns over the middle, but go four wide receivers in the red zone. They got to run 6 yards and just get open or just jump up and catch the ball or something. Why not have a 58-year-old Jerry Rice out there trying to catch passes? He doesn't have to stay healthy if it's only in the playoffs. Don't just stay healthy. Like, you get one game out of him, you get one touchdown out of him, it's worth it.
And
if he gets hurt, he gets hurt, you know, whatever. But that's more of like just like fantasy what if, you know, in your head. Who are some other free agents that you think the Chiefs should probably target?
Yeah, it just depends. I think if you want to go on that defensive side of things, your biggest question mark whether or not is, are you going to sign Chris Jones? And whether that is the case or not, I know the fact the Chiefs are probably already lining it up whether for that backup plan. Because if you don't have a backup plan now, then you're kind of S out of luck, if what some would say. But I do like Christian Wilkins. I think Christian Wilkins should be a guy that the Chiefs should target. I know I talked about him a few weeks ago on here, and I think he's a guy that should be at least targeted. And another one that I know it just depends on how much money you have, but Chase Young's out there. And I know there's just this big question mark on whether or not he can actually go out there and play, whether or not the Chiefs actually need an edge rusher, a better one upgraded if you want to upgrade what FAU is going to do this upcoming year, knowing that Mike Dana isn't going to be on this team anymore. Do you kick the tires on that maybe? Or even if you go back to the defensive tackle side, Calais Campbell, like he's – unless if he got re-signed or something, he's – I know he's almost 38 years old, but still, I think you need to find a defensive tackle or another edge if I'm the Chiefs. Secondary is already set.
Yeah, you got to find a pass rusher. Christian Wilkins is really the only interior pass rusher out there. You got guys like Sheldon Rankins, Quentin Jefferson.
What about like Fletcher Cox? Does that name sound like you would want him here?
At
like
30, I'm curious. At 33 years old. Like, yeah, sure. 6 years ago, I would have wanted Fletcher Cox here. But 33-year-old Fletcher Cox, I don't know if he has enough left in the tank. I think I'd rather bet on an upside guy like Javon Kinlaw than go for a retread like a Fletcher Cox. Really, Christian Wilkins is going to be the target if Chris Jones moves on. He's the only other defensive tackle in this free agents class that had, you know, at least 9 sacks and over 20 quarterback hits, you know, last season. It's really him or a draft pick. I mean, it's you're going to take a huge hit in the interior pass rush if you lose Chris Jones. That's, I think, which is probably why Brett Veach has looked at this free agent class and said, okay, job one is to re-sign Chris Jones because there's not another free agent out there who's going to give us the same amount of production. But if you do move on, you say that the secondary is set, but the secondary is set if you don't move on from Legarius Sneed. It's still a really good secondary, even without Legarius Sneed, but there is a need there, I think, for another player if they do move on from Legarius Sneed. Whether or not they add that guy in the draft or they add him in free agency remains to be seen. I wouldn't hate seeing them take a chance on a couple of guys out there, like a Jeff Okuda, right? Like a former high draft pick. Like, that's a Brett Veach special right there. Yeah. I don't hate him. And Adoree Jackson, he's had some good years. I don't want a guy who's an older guy, kind of. I don't want like a Stephon Gilmore or a Micah Hyde or anything like that. A Rakia Sin might be fun to add to this defense. But really, yeah, like, I mean, I know you're going to say Patrick Peterson because you just want to see Patrick Peterson in a Chiefs uniform.
Now, out of all the corners, Sean Murphy Bunting.
What would you do?
Sean Murphy Bunting would definitely be the guy I would actually want to maybe possibly get. Maybe a Keisan Nixon, a Levi Wallace. I know that Pittsburgh just released him as well. I know there's guys that are probably taking some like $4 million deals per year. If that's what the Chiefs can afford, that's who I would try to go after and get. But, I mean, C.J. Henderson as well. I mean, he's another type of high first-round caliber draft pick that really didn't pan out of Florida, and he's just making his way. I think he's on his second team. I think it was in Carolina. Those are at least a handful of guys that the Chiefs could actually go out there and maybe get.
Yeah, I like all those names too. Like, all those guys offer – like, I think especially, like, what a guy does in another scheme and what he does for Steve Spagnuolo and Dave Merritt are two totally different things. And I trust them to maximize these guys' talent at secondary more than any other position. At secondary more than any other position on the team, I trust the scouting department in the front office and the coaching staff to get the most out of it. Like, that's the one position where I don't have a concern about them making the right choice at that position. And one more free agent position that's really interesting right now, and the Chiefs do have a need there, whether or not they go shopping in free agency at it, is the running back position. Like, the Chiefs currently have Isaiah Pacheco, and that's it, right, in the running back room. I mean, they have some other guys like Denarius Prince and that sort of thing, but they've lost Clyde. They lost Jerick McKinnon. There's some big names. There's some real big names out there in free agency in this class. You know, you got Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, Austin Eckler, Cordarrelle Patterson, Gus Edwards, Ezekiel Elliott, Devin Singletary, DeAndre Swift, Donta Foreman, and Donta Foreman hasn't been anything in a while, but you got J.K. Dobbins, Kareem Hunt, Latavius Murray, A.J. Dillon, Antonio Gibson, Zach Moss, Marlon Mack. There's a lot of names. Matt Breida. I mean, there's a lot of guys here in this free agent class.
Antonio Gibson.
First of all, yeah. How are you doing losing Josh Jacobs? But how are you doing about losing Josh Gibson? Or Josh Jacobs. I mean, as a Raiders fan, how do you feel about losing Josh Jacobs?
I don't think they're losing him. I think he ends up being re-signed back. I it's going to be less money because of, one, him being hurt last year and also not starting off great, thinking that he was going to start off great for the first 3, 4, 5 weeks of the season. He was abysmal behind there. They should have had Zamir White start the entire time. Even with Zamir White there. I think Josh Jacobs will get re-signed back with the Raiders. If not, I think he stays in division, goes with the Chargers.
That's juicy. Josh Jacobs to the Chargers. I mean, Jim Harbaugh's going to.
Exactly. Jim Harbaugh's going to recruit.
Yeah, that's 100% true. All right. So for the Chiefs, you think Antonio Gibson should be the guy that they target in free agency?
Yeah, especially for his size and the fact that he kind of reminds me of Jerick McKinnon a little bit. And I mean, I don't think Jet's going to be here. I don't know. Maybe. But he would be a great fix, a great adjustment. There's the word I was looking for, in order to go past the Jerick McKinnons to the Antonio Gibsons now, because they're almost the exact same player.
Oh, 100%. I mean, Antonio Gibson can catch the ball. He can run the ball. He was injured a little bit last year as well. I would love to see Antonio Gibson. Low-key, I wouldn't hate seeing Tony Pollard in a Chiefs uniform. Like that might be kind of fun. And if we're going to go with like a kind of outside type of guy that people probably wouldn't think about too much, I've always really liked Josh Kelly's game. Like ever since he was in college, I always thought Josh Kelly was a guy who never got the opportunities that he deserved. And I he would probably come here and do nothing. But I'm a Josh Kelly believer, and he hasn't shown me anything in his professional career to back that up. But I believe that it's one of those things where I believe that the Chiefs would be the team that got it out. Like I think the same thing with Laviska Shenault also.
Yeah.
Like Laviska Shenault has all the potential in the world and just never does anything. And I think that every team has done the same thing with Zay Jones. I think Zay Jones has been in the NFL as long as he has been because every team says, oh, we can be the team to get the most out of Zay Jones. And then nobody really gets anything out of Zay Jones. That's how I feel about Josh Kelly. But anyway, before we move on from free agency, any last thoughts, any last things you want to hit on in free agency?
There's no tackles out there that are worthwhile to maybe go get. I know that for a fact. This is just bad. Like, I feel this is not a good market if you're trying to get to either draft a tackle or sign a tackle. It's actually sad.
It really, really feels like we're going to see Wanya Morris starting the left tackle in 2024, at least to start the year. Or, I mean,
you bring Donovan Smith back.
You could bring Donovan Smith back. You could also move Joe Thuney to left tackle for the year. And then shift Creed Humphrey over to guard and then draft a center because it's a really deep center class.
I like that idea. Yeah, I like that idea.
It's not ideal, but you want to talk about getting your five best offensive linemen on the field? That might be the
idea. My gosh, Rocky. Yeah. You need to talk to Brett Veach right now. Like Brett, come on now. We need to talk to you.
If you're listening, I am a free agent currently. If you want to add me to your scouting team, I mean, I will interview with you immediately following the recording of this podcast, even though you're not going to hear it we're recording this on Saturday night, everybody. Also, I should put that disclaimer right here. Anything that happens on Sunday or Monday before this comes out, we're not responsible for not. True. If we missed on it or something happens, like, why didn't you talk about, like, they're like, why did you talk about Joe Burrow getting cut from the Bengals for no reason? Cause he got in trouble for doing blah, 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 blah on Sunday night. Well, because we recorded this on Saturday night. So we didn't know that. But anyway, Brett, Monday, call me. I'm open. I'll interview at any point in time. I'll clear my schedule. I would love to join your organization. Okay. Moving on from free agents. We're going to talk a little bit of draft here before we wrap up. All right. We're going to talk about guys where when we're getting down to the nitty gritty of it, so many times we boil these guys down to being prospects, but you're not drafting a prospect. You're drafting a person, right? And so much of who that person is plays into their success on and off the football field. So I'll start off. One guy who I would draft because of who they are as a person and also for who they are as a prospect, but mostly because of who they are and not who they are not and who they are as a person, is I am all in on Ray Davis. If you know the Ray Davis story, it is one of the most inspiring stories of overcoming adversity and survival that you will ever read. It is like the blind side, but true, is how I would put it. Ray Davis was homeless at the age of 12. He had a six-year-old sibling and a baby, and a sibling who was a baby as well. And he had, and his two younger siblings had an opportunity to go live with the godmother of the six-year-old. But she didn't have room for 12-year-old Ray Davis. And at 12 years old, Kentucky running back Ray Davis had to make the decision to either keep him and his two siblings together or let his two younger siblings go live in a home where they'd be safe and cared for. And he would go live in a homeless shelter alone. And he made that decision to go send his siblings to a safe home and instead go live in a homeless shelter at the age of 12. At the age of 12, he was texting people, family members and friends, saying, hey, can I just crash on your couch for a couple of weeks? And had people after person tell him that they didn't have room for him and that they would not take him in. He couldn't crash there. He was living in a homeless shelter under a hospital in San Francisco. He was missing weeks and weeks and weeks of the football season. He was playing Little League football for a team called the Seahawks. And it was only because he missed weeks and weeks of football that anything ever changed for him. When he was 15 years old, he couldn't find a ride home from an away game because he was homeless and he didn't have anybody to bring him home. He didn't have a family. And one of his team, I think it was 15, he may have been a little bit younger. One of his teammates' parents was like, hey, what are you doing? And he was like, I'm trying to find a ride home. And long story short, she was like, I'll give you a ride home, but here's a warning. If you get in this car, I'm going to ask you 3,000 questions about your life because I've seen that you've missed games and you're not always around. Fast forward, she ends up becoming his de facto, what he calls guardian. She never officially adopted him or anything like that, but that she took him and started looking out for him. His father comes back into the picture when he's 15. His father has no parental rights whatsoever. And Ray Davis has the opportunity to go to a boarding school that he doesn't have the money to pay for, but he has the opportunity to go to a boarding school. He's going to be able to play football and not be in a homeless shelter. And the state of California is saying, you're a ward of the state and we don't want to let you go. And the only way he's going to get to do this is for him to go and convince the court to give his father, who he doesn't know, who has no parental rights to him, full custody so that his father will allow him to go to this boarding school. And Ray Davis stands before the judge and the state's attorney and convinces them and says, I will not become a statistic. I will not become one of these kids who messes up this opportunity. I don't know how I'm going to pay for it, but I'm going to work and I'm going to pay for it. I don't know how I'm going to overcome this circumstance, but I'm going to overcome this circumstance. And Ray Davis overcame that circumstance. Ray Davis got himself a scholarship to play at the University of Kentucky. And then Ray Davis is now one of the top running back prospects in the 2024 NFL draft. He went from choosing to be homeless and give his younger siblings a home and living below a hospital with adults in a homeless shelter to being one of the top NFL running back prospects in the 2024 draft. Like, don't give me the guy who had a golden paved road, who was a hot up and coming prospect his entire year. Give me the guy who got dropped out of it, whose airplane crashed in the middle of the effing jungle, and he emerged on the other side. Like, give me that guy every stinking day of the week. I would draft Ray Davis. I would run Ray Davis's name on a draft card up to the podium. So that I say, wow. I'm drafting Ray Davis.
That's incredible, Rocky. I didn't know this until you actually told me. I didn't find the story. I don't know how I didn't. But man, he's kind of a guy that I want to pick on my side of things. I want to support him no matter what. My gosh.
Yeah, it's a wild, wild, wild story. So Crame, hey, follow that up. Who do you got?
Oh man, I don't know how I'm gonna follow that up. Heck, you even got another person on this list. I know for a fact I can't follow him up either. When I got sent the rundown, I didn't actually know the nuts and bolts of this loaded question of us trying to figure out who's that guy you stand behind. So there's a guy I'm gonna stand behind. There's no story like that with him unless I gotta do some more digging on that. But that's the Washington Huskies linebacker, Edifone Ufashahu, I think that's how you pronounce it. I don't know. I'm not an English major, so if I butcher that, I'm so sorry. I just know he's a speedy, quick. He's a guy that can be your pass coverage type of linebacker that would be there. Man, I wish I had a story on him because, my gosh, I want Ray Davis now. Like, if I'm the Raiders, I'm drafting Ray Davis if I need a running back. My gosh, like that's.
You still want to bring back Josh Jacobs, or do you want to draft Ray Davis?
I mean, Josh Jacobs was homeless since the age of 8, I believe, at one point in his lifetime. So, I mean, heck, fall right into his shoes right there.
I tell you what, like, you look at these guys, like, honestly, like, honest to God, like, you had Legarius Sneed, both of his parents were incarcerated at one point. Isaiah Pacheco comes from a very, very rough background. One of his siblings was murdered, you know, when he was in high school. You have these Tyrann Mathieu's parents were incarcerated as well. Like, you have these players who come from unfortunate circumstances, and most people do not emerge on the other side successful. Most kids become a statistic. Like, I'll be honest to God with you guys. Before I was doing this in a previous life, I managed a group home in Olathe for at-risk youth for a number of years. And I saw kids come through there who had elite athletic ability. And not one of them ever went on to become a professional athlete in anything. There was one kid who was a track star who started playing football because Isaiah Simmons, linebacker, was a New York Giants now linebacker. Isaiah Simmons played at Olathe North. Mm-hmm. Isaiah Simmons's dad was his track coach. And this kid was so good at track, they started playing football at Olathe North. We know Olathe North is an elite high school program. He got an offer, a full ride offer to go play at KU, just being recruited as an athlete. Kid's been to jail like 4 times now on mm-hmm. drug charges. Like these kids, they don't overcome these situations more times than not. And this kid who had the scholarship to KU, he wasn't a bad kid. He was dealt bum cards that anybody wouldn't overcome. Like these situations are extreme situations that normal human beings don't overcome. So that when these guys do overcome these situations, you know that they're an extraordinary human being. You know that they're an extraordinary competitor. And they have a grit that a normal person doesn't have. And that's the person you bet on to succeed. They say hungry dogs run faster. These aren't just hungry dogs. These are dogs fighting for survival every single day. Like, that's the guy you want. You want the guy who on the football field who's fighting to survive. Like, who is fighting to get everything that he's never had before, that he wants for himself and his family. Another guy, not quite the same situation as Ray Davis, is Xavier Leggett, wide receiver from South Carolina. Xavier Leggett was a wide receiver in high school. And then his freshman year, he lost his mother to breast cancer. That's something hard that any kid would have a hard time overcoming. And then when he's playing football in high school, their quarterback gets injured. And so their coaches say, listen, you're the best athlete. We need you to play quarterback instead of wide receiver. He says, okay. He steps in and becomes quarterback. Fast forward to senior year of high school, 2019. He's quarterback for his high school football team. He loses his father as well. So now this kid, in the course of his high school career, has lost both parents and now is you know, living with, I think he went to go live with his grandmother, if I understand correctly. Gets recruited not as a wide receiver, as a number 17 athlete in the nation. Only has 6 offers. One of them is in-state in South Carolina. Tries to go to South Carolina. Is behind Debo Samuel. And then he's behind Brian Edwards. Then he's behind Shai Smith. And then they bring in Antoine Juice Wells in 2022. And where the year where he's supposed to finally get out from behind the shadows of the upperclassmen, he gets in a moped accident, gets injured, gets put back. Juice Wells comes in. Juice Wells becomes a star. And then it looks like, okay, he's going to enter a senior season, and he's a backup. What happens? Juice Wells gets a foot injury in practice. Juice Wells, it lingers. Juice Wells can't go. He has to cut short his 2023 season. Xavier Leggett enters the scene. He never missed a practice his entire college career. Not one single practice. His coaches say that he was in the weight room grinding, his own coach's admission, his own wide receiver coach said, "I'm ashamed that I didn't see his potential before he did it on the field. Like, I should have seen the way that he practices. I should have seen it ahead of time and got him on the field. I shouldn't have had injuries be the only reason why he got on the field. This guy earned his way onto the field. And then once he got the opportunity, he never looked back. He became one of only what I think only have 2 or 3 wide receivers in program history to go over 1,000 yards. He beat Alshon Jeffrey's single season yardage record. At one point, he was the leading wide receiver in the SEC. He had a fractured hand and played through it like this season. The guy is electric after the catch. And everybody is saying, oh, well, this guy only has 1 year of production. Like, can you really bet on a guy who only has 1 year of production? Well, how about I bet on a guy who lost both parents, had a position change, had a coaching change in college, had to play behind multiple NFL wide receivers, had a transfer come in and take his job, and then still fought his way onto the field to become one of the most productive wide receivers in the toughest conference in the NCAA in 2023. That 1 year of production is better than multiple years of production by guys who are going to get drafted in this draft. So I am betting on Xavier Leggett for who he is as much as I am for who he is as a player.
If the Chiefs were to get one of these two dudes, I think Leggett's the guy. I think Leggett's the guy for him. Heck, honestly, I mean, they're not going to get Ray Davis. Like, he's going to be drafted long before they want to even think about getting him. Leggett might be a Chief.
Like, honestly, like, you might say you trade Legarius Sneed to Indianapolis Colts at 46 and you don't want to trade up and get Odunze. You take Xavier Leggett at number 46. Oh, my gosh. The guy after the catch is amazing. He's a contested catch monster. He's 6'2". 221 and ran a 4.39 40. Like, well, yeah. So he averaged 7.5 yards after the catch per reception. Duh. The guy's a monster. Like, he's so agile. He's explosive. Like, you want a guy who's like honestly, like, his comp is closer to DK Metcalf than it is AJ Brown. Like, he is a stud. And so I'm all in on Xavier Leggett. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm letting my Leggett flag fly. Moving forward, we're gonna do one last little bit before we get out of here. This one, Kramer, I'm just gonna do, and I want to get your response to these. Okay.
Okay.
If an NFL prospect were a professional comedian, this is who they would be. Right.
Okay. All right. I'm following.
So we'll start off with Marvin Harrison Jr., right? The greatest prospect that the world has ever seen at wide receiver.
Best of the best.
I'm saying he's Richard Pryor. The best of the best. The greatest there's ever been. There's not a better comedian than Richard Pryor. You ask any comedian, who do they idolize? Who do they look up to? Richard Pryor was the greatest comedian of all time. Marvin Harrison Jr. is Richard Pryor. What do you think?
I mean, I'm guilty. I have not listened to a set of Richard Pryor. I might have seen some clips or something. I haven't listened to a full set of him. But if taking your word on this, I mean, because I feel like this is a your type of comedian type of guy. Would you say that he is your type of guy?
Yes, he's my type of guy. He's the greatest comedian of all time. Get on YouTube right now.
Okay. All right. Once this is over. Yeah. Okay. I'll do that later on tonight when I'm relaxing here doing the Missouri stuff. Marvin Harrison Jr. Yes. I agree. If he's the best of the best, make sure it's Marvin Harrison Jr. because Marvin Harrison Jr. is gonna be the best of the best as wide receiver draft class we've ever gonna see.
I agree. And the next is Malik Nabers, and Malik Nabers is Dave Chappelle. And that's because he's almost as good as the best of the best. Dave Chappelle may be the best of our generation. Say what you want about some of his questionable content recently. There's nobody who has the same delivery, nobody who has the same insight. Like, Dave Chappelle is one of the greatest comedians of all time. Malik Nabers is one of the greatest wide receiver prospects we've seen in my lifetime.
I'm agreeing. I love Dave Chappelle. I might switch. I would take Dave Chappelle over Richard Pryor. That's just me, though. But
would you take Malik Nabers over Marvin Harrison Jr.?
No.
No, okay.
I wouldn't. Gotcha. It's Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm sorry. I'm a Michigan guy, and I saw what he did against us. Who won? Michigan. Okay, let's go.
So,
go Blue.
So now the next one we're going to go on to is our previously mentioned Xavier Leggett. Xavier Leggett is Rodney Dangerfield. Because he gets no regard at all, like Rodney Dangerfield.
People
are underselling this guy and saying that he's not any good. And so if I'm Xavier Leggett, I'm just sitting there with that Rodney Dangerfield face on. You know, obviously he doesn't look like Rodney Dangerfield, and he's a lot younger than Rodney Dangerfield. Rodney Dangerfield was born a 65-year-old out of shape white guy with a cigar in his mouth. You know, and that's just he came out of his mother's womb looking like he was like half drunk and hungover at the same time.
Could you say he's a Tom Segura?
Yeah, he could be a Tom Segura. He would be okay. A Tom Segura. I think he'd be that. Yeah.
All right.
Braden Fisk, the defensive tackle from Florida State, is Bert Kreischer, and
Bert.
Yeah, he's Bert Kreischer because he's awesome. And they look like almost like look a lot alike. Like if you took Braden Fisk's shirt off and you had him stand next to Bert Kreischer, they could be father and son. I think
I love that actually. That's a good. This out of all these you've done so far, this is the one you hit the nail on the head here, Rocky.
Well, wait for the next one. The next one is Caleb Williams. It's Nick Kroll because he looks a little annoying. And I really feel like Caleb Williams has been told that he's special and perfect his entire life. And Nick Kroll is the child of a billionaire. Like Nick Kroll's funny, and I love the league, and I love his show on Netflix, Big Mouth. Like those are all really good shows. But Nick Kroll's dad was a billionaire. And so I can't imagine that he ever really struggled too much with a backup plan, you know, if it didn't work out.
I don't mind this one. I can't stand Caleb Williams, but I do like Nick Kroll. That's
a thing. I like Nick Kroll too. I say this about Nick Kroll, but I like Nick Kroll.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Caleb Williams is the comp.
I see it.
The next one is your dude, Ladd McConkey.
Oh, I'm curious who this is going to be.
So Ladd McConkey's comp is Colin Jost because his name is Ladd McConkey and Colin Jost's name is like these guys. Their parents grew up playing golf together in the country club. And if Ladd McConkey didn't play football at Georgia, he would have been at Harvard with, you know, he sounds like he has a library named after him. Like I said, Colin Jost and Ladd McConkey, their parents are members of the same club. They have the same bridge. Their grandmothers play bridge together and are in like, they grow rose bushes or whatever, you know, fancy white people do.
And they're both handsome.
And they're both they are both handsome. And I wouldn't surprise me if Ladd McConkey married Scarlett Johansson.
Get him with ScarJo? Okay.
Yeah, you know, because Joseph is married to Scarlett.
Exactly.
All right, now last and final one is that Luke McCaffrey is John Mulaney.
All right, you got to explain this a little bit.
And the reason why Luke McCaffrey is John Mulaney is because John Mulaney's the better version of Colin Jost. And John Mulaney is funnier than Colin Jost, even though I can see him being in similar circles. And Luke McCaffrey is the better version of Vlad McConkey. So, McCaffrey is John Mulaney, and that's it. List of prospects if they were comedians. And then last but not least, last thing we're going to do before we get out of here today is sleepers of the week. All right, Kramer, I've been talking a lot here. Give you the floor. Who is your sleeper of the week this week?
My sleeper of the week this week, we're going into the Big Ten out of Michigan, Cornelius Johnson. This guy, I like. I like him a lot. Not just because he's a Michigan Wolverine or anything like that, but he's a very solid, tall X wide receiver. The only thing he has a knack on him that's not like the best for him is his speed. I know he ran a 4.440 at the draft. But this guy can jump. This guy can win those contested catches. He has great hands. It's just the fact that the speed factor isn't there for him. So I like him being as a sleeper. The Chiefs can maybe grab him in the fourth, fifth, sixth, maybe not the sixth, maybe the fourth or the fifth rounds. He should still be there, and he'd be a great pickup for the Chiefs. I think that's why he's a sleeper.
When you watch Cornelius Johnson's tape, you think, man, this guy has great hands. This guy runs really good routes. This guy moves kind of slow. He's got good size. You're like this guy moves kind of, like when he ran a 4.440, I was impressed. I thought it was going to be slower than that. That's actually much faster than I expected him to run.
What I was annoyed with him at the combine was he didn't do the three cone drill. He didn't do any cone drills. Like that's right there is going to show how quick your agility is on your first step. And the fact that he didn't do that is it's disappointing. So I'm hoping on his pro day, he ends up doing more of the drills at Ann Arbor. Well,
it also could be concerning because you want to talk about play speed. Like three cone drill is like a good representation of play speed coming in and out of your breaks. And so the fact that he didn't do that may also attribute to why he looks so slow.
So he's a sleeper. He'll be late. He's a sleeper.
He is the definition of a sleeper. My sleeper this week is Aneem Donkwa. He played at the HBCU college, Howard University, played his college ball. Very, very raw. Like we're talking like you go to the butcher shop, you have him cut you a T-bone right off the side of the cow there in the shop. Raw prospect. But he's from Ontario, Canada. He is 6'8", 353 pounds, 35 1/8 inch arms, and almost 10 inch hands. Like you can't like Bill Self once said about like getting like a raw 7-foot center and then developing him. He said, "There's only so many 7-foot tall people in the world." That's how I feel about this guy. There's only so many 6'8", 350-pound offensive tackles with 35 1/8 inch arms. Like this guy is size, length. He has good lateral movement and agility. His 10-yard split was 1.177. He had a 27.5 vertical jump. Not the greatest by any means, but for an offensive lineman, not bad. He did a respectable 24 reps on the bench press. He looks good. He moves well for his size. He has got to get better footwork, got to get better hand placement. Like he just needs reps and he just needs somebody to get him and develop him. If the Chiefs draft him, he's going to be a guy who does a red shirt year. He might even end up on the practice squad for a year, right? Kind of guy. But I think he's a guy that if you invest 2 or 3 years in, you could get some serious returns with down the line.
Kind of reminds me of of Prince. I'm going to butcher
very much. Name. He's like, very much a Prince.
Tega Wanohu. There we go.
Tega Wanohu. Yeah.
There we go.
I was going to go for it. You beat me to the punch. All right. There we have it. Those are our sleepers of the week. And that is going to wrap up our episode today. Guys, we have the editor show on Wednesdays. We have the AP Draft Room with Ron Kopp Jr. On Fridays. Pay attention to everything we have, especially with free agency. Whenever the Chiefs sign a guy or link to a guy, we're going to be following it up with a breakdown of the player. We're going to get stuff out there. And as soon as free agency is over, we're going to get right back into draft content. I've already started doing my outline for an Xavier Legette and Ray Davis articles for the site that I'll have out in the coming weeks. Got lots of film reviews coming out on prospects. Anytime a prospect gets linked to the Chiefs, we're going to have a film breakdown up on the side of them. All sorts of content and information. So just stay plugged into the website. As always, you know, thank you so much for hanging out with us and for the respect of your time, for the investment of your time. If you think that we've been a good steward and this was a good time investment for you, then please, we'd be honored if you leave us a 5-star review and give us some comments. If you don't like us and you think we suck, then let us know that too, because all feedback is a gift. That being said, any last words for the people, Cream?
Buckle up. Monday's coming. Tampering's on our way. And then Wednesday, free agency opens.
Yep. Legal tampering period starts at 11 a.m. on Monday. Free agency opens at 11 a.m. Kansas City time on Monday, 3 p.m. Wednesday, free agency starts. Guys, it's going to be a wild week, so let's go. Let's go. All right, everybody, be good to each other. Be good to people. Love people. Stay awesome. We love you. Have a great week.
Hey there, it's Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride, and I'm excited to announce a new element of the Arrowhead Pride experience for diehard Chiefs fans. It's our brand new newsletter, Arrowhead Pride Premier. Arrowhead Pride Premier is a newsletter delivered to your inbox twice a week from me. For $50, you'll get an annual subscription packed with insider coverage from yours truly and new in-depth analysis from voices around Kansas City. It's all about what I'm seeing and hearing around the team. During the season, we'll deliver a newsletter ahead of each game to get ready for Sunday, and a newsletter after each game to unpack exactly what happened. Subscribe to Arrowhead Pride Premier today at arrowheadpride.com/subscribe.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.